welcome to a new episode of the Monday Mile podcast. This week we're in Woking. This mile is a little different. It's brought us inside to a motorsport factory. I'll give you some clues. Well, I've already said we're in Woking, but there's a lot of papaya coloured logos around. The team is steeped in racing history, and today we are lucky enough to be speaking to their first ever female driver. We are, of course, at McLaren HQ, and we're here to meet Emma Gilmore. Emma, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, it's great to be here.
Now, I did say you were McLaren's first ever female driver. That's some serious accolade.
It still gives me goosebumps. I just think it's so cool. Yeah, I just, you're very, very proud, very humbled.
And we are currently standing where?
On the boulevard at the MTC.
So casual, on the boulevard at McLaren. I think I have to say, this has to be one of our most aesthetically pleasing miles I've ever had the pleasure of walking. And what is this that's in front of us?
So this is our show car for our Extreme E vehicle. So this is same size, same everything. We just couldn't go racing this car, but it gives you an idea of how big these Extreme E vehicles are.
It looks extremely aggressive and very fast.
It is very fast, yes. So fully electric, but super quick, lots of power. But as you can see from the size of the tyres and the wheels, designed to go off-road, unlike all of these other beautiful F1 and circuit-type vehicles on the boulevard with it.
In fact, you know what? Let me have a little look at this, because this is rare. Not very often do I get to come and look at a masterpiece like this. So there's two drivers, a male and a female. How does it work?
Yeah, so I think Tanner, my teammate, and I are both grateful that we don't have to sit in the car with each other. So it works like a relay race. So so one of us will do the first one or two laps, and then we come into what they call a switch zone, where we have to go to like pit speed, we stop, and then we do a driver switch, and then the next driver takes over. So yeah, so it's like a relay race with the car.
Incredible. And how long is each lap?
Generally, the total distance is about 7 to 8 kilometres. And that can be split either over one lap or two laps of like 3 or 4 kilometres. So, yeah, just depends on the layout of the track and the location we go to.
And the fitting of the car is quite different to that of a Formula One car. You don't have to have really narrow hips. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, they're proper rally seats, I guess, is what you'd call. And quite fortunate, Tanner and I are similar size. So when we do our driver switches, it's very easy for us. We don't need to have driver inserts or anything. The belts fit both of us. So
wow, because that could really
speedier.
Add a layer of complexity.
Yes, right. More things to check and get right.
Definitely less streamlined. So we are quite away from your hometown of New Zealand. How does a Kiwi end up driving for McLaren?
Yeah, I still ask myself the same question, actually. It's my background when I was younger was horse riding. I did competitive horse riding all through my teenage years. Absolutely loved it. I was aiming on going to the Olympics. That was my plan. None of my horses had read this plan, so it all sort of came to an end, I guess, and I gave up the horse riding, discovered rally driving, and was very fortunate. I've been able to rally all around the world as a rally driver. And then when the Extreme E series came along and McLaren saw the opportunities in the Extreme E series, I got a phone call from Zach, the boss, and that's how I ended up being with McLaren.
Would you say that phone call has changed your life?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, amazing. I actually have the date in my diary.
Go on. What's the date?
All the things changed. It's actually coming up. It might have been yesterday, was it? The 11th of June.
Go on. So I've got a very similar scenario. It took me to New Zealand, but not as frequent as you coming to the UK. But I had one phone call, very similarly, with a brand that I work with in snowboarding, and that was the 10th of November, 2007.
Brilliant.
You remember those days, right?
I do, absolutely.
Where are we heading now, Emma?
We are heading out to the outside, so out where the big welcome area is, which is pretty spectacular, really.
Did you hear that? What was that? Did I just hear a McLaren fire up? So do you get to drive them?
I do occasionally get to drive them, which is amazing because they're just so beautiful.
Right, take us back to the horse riding. So it started there, desire to be an Olympian. You've now become a racing driver. I don't think there is a job role cooler than that.
Yeah, it is very, very cool. And yeah, like I said, I still pinch myself many times, but the interesting thing from horse riding to driving, they're very similar kind of skill sets in terms of the feel you have from your seat and the hand-eye coordination, and then kind of the fearlessness that comes with when things are all going really bad with the horses or whatever, when you're coming up to a cross-country fence, for example, at speed, and it's all bad, you've still just got to go for it. There's no abort button, which I'm similar probably with what you did as well, in terms of you've just got to have that always forward-thinking mentality, kind of just go for it. And that crosses over, I think, very well into the motorsport.
So this is where I think horse riding is ridiculous. In a car, you are in total control of the machine.
Yes.
A horse, however, has a mind of its own. Was there an element of taking that skill set from horse riding into the rallying and actually coming to a place where you realise, actually, this is, I hold the power here.
Oh, it's amazing, because people always say, oh, but motor racing, that's so dangerous and so scary. And I'm like, yeah, no, horse riding, way more dangerous and scary for the reasons you just say about the horse having a mind of its own, and then it's half a ton of animal with you, and you've got your helmet. That's all. Yeah. So motor racing feels, very safe, with all the gear that we have in terms of keeping us safe and protected.
I like to call it risk assessed.
Yes, absolutely.
You are in total control. However, Extreme E is a little bit different, right? You're off track. And this is where I can maybe slightly relate to it. So in snowboarding, we have something called backcountry snowboarding. And essentially, it's an open environment with rocks and trees. And anything can happen. It's a blank canvas for creativity. When it comes to Extreme E, am I correct in thinking there can be boulders and rocks and mini cliffs?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's possibly not as freestyle as what you're describing, but still very much we're racing on terrain that was not designed as a racetrack. They basically put out gates of flags that we need to go through to complete our course. And we only walk the course before we then do practice, and then we do racing. So we do very limited time on the track, and there's always going to be bumps and holes and rocks and stuff that you haven't seen from your previous laps. So yeah, it makes it very challenging.
So the heritage of McLaren is fast cars, petrol, and winning races. You're in the E division. When it comes to racing under the umbrella of McLaren, is there a pressure to win?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we're here to do. We're here to be excellent and show what McLaren is capable of. And that's been their whole pedigree right through motor racing. This year, they're celebrating 60 years, right through that whole history. They've been class leaders and showing what can be done with motorsport and leading the way. And I think that's why they've gone into electric racing with the Formula E and Extreme E. It's showcasing what's happening with motorsport for the future. And I think what Extreme E does very, very well is the diversity and inclusion and having the female and males competing equally in motorsport, which no other motorsport's ever done this. So, Extreme E is very exciting as a formula of motorsport with all the boxes that it's ticking, I guess, in terms of showing what can be done.
As a female in the sport, starting out at grassroots level, would you say Extreme E is presenting a platform in providing that accessibility for females to get seats in cars? Because I know that's one thing about racing, is it's hard to get a seat.
Absolutely. I think motorsport is always going to be difficult, in terms of getting to that top level. As in any sport, it is, being to the absolute top, it takes a lot of work and a lot of dedication and a lot of luck at times. But I think the great thing about Extreme E is that it's inspiring that next generation of young people to maybe follow that motorsport dream, which you need to have a whole lot of people at the bottom of the mountain to get to the top, I guess, if that makes sense. But I think that's what's really exciting, is that on any Extreme E grid, you've got 50% male and female. So all these young girls at home can see that, women can compete at the top level when given the same opportunity.
One of the incredible things about Extreme E is the sustainability efforts. Do you believe the future of motorsport is electric?
I think it's part of the future of motorsport, and I don't know if it's going to be all motorsport is electric, but it's definitely going to be part of it. And I think it's really exciting that Extreme E is one of the formulas leading the way, and also probably more importantly and in a bigger picture, doing it in a sustainable way, like that we travel with such a small team, unlike, for example, Formula One, where it's a massive, massive team. Yeah. We travel with a very small team. The vehicles are all transported on a boat, so they're, you know, it's a lot lower CO2 emissions, all those sorts of things. And then, you know, using the hydrogen fuel cells for charging the vehicles, it's highlighting what can be done when things are thought of in an innovative way, instead of just doing the same formula again and again. So I think that's really exciting what Extreme E showcases, really.
And as an athlete within that, being on tour, has there been any takeaways yourself that you've taken into your own sustainability efforts?
I think what is really cool is that at each of our Extreme E events, we go and do these legacy projects. So yeah, we learn about the challenges that the different remote areas we were racing are facing. And we're learning, it's like going back to school and being educated by these experts. For me personally, I think we often get frightened by the message in the media that climate change is just so big and so vast that you think, well, what can I do that's going to make an impact? But the reality is that if we all make small changes within our day-to-day life,
yeah,
all of us, then we can make a big impact. So I think that's it. It's just thinking smaller, you know, less plastic, reusing the water bottles, you know, reusing all those kind of things, just really thinking on my impact and how, if we can all do that, or make a bigger impact.
That was really cool to see this morning. I was lucky enough to have a coffee in the factory and to see everybody. It's mandatory to have a keep cup.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's brilliant. And like you say, it's just a tiny little effort. But take us back onto the track, because that's what I'm really interested in. As an athlete, when it comes to racing, take us through the mental process of hyper focus, because I can imagine it's very different to cruising down a motorway where you're just cruising at 70 miles per hour. How does it work, and how do you stay in tune with the ever-changing environment?
It's amazing because so much happens. Like just the last race we did in Scotland, you're on the start line and it's the countdown and you're just waiting for the lights to go green, and then the lights are green, and like it's just instant, you know, that's just all your focus is on. And then because we start on a flat start line, what I mean is, you know, you're side by side by side with four other cars. You're trying to get to the first corner first so that you've got the best getaway.
It sounds like motocross.
Yes, very much like motocross.
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling so nervous already.
And you take off and you sort of, you need to, you know, elbow your way across so that you've got your position that you want without being too aggressive to the driver beside you.
Is it quite jostly?
It is jostly.
A bit of elbow bumping. Okay. Yeah. It's like border cross. Bit of elbow bumping, right? We're
into
the first corner.
Give me my space. And so I got a good start. I got the first. I was away heading down to the next lot of flag points, and it was super, super slippery, which was different from the course before. So all I'm thinking about is getting in front and staying in front. And then the car starts to slide and I'm like, oh yeah, it's a bit slippery. And then the next time we come over a bump, the car just totally starts to slide, like I've hit ice.
No. Black ice vibes.
Black ice. And I was like, oh, because we had hay bales right down the edge of the track. And I was like, oh, this isn't going to be good. So I try to straighten the wheels for the impact with the hay bales. The impact with the hay bales happens, and then instantly you're like 90 degrees to the track. And I'm like,
so we're sliding sideways towards the hay bales.
Oh no, we've gone that to the hay bales. And then I'm thinking, oh, please don't roll. Please don't roll.
That must be terrifying.
But it's all split seconds. Like it happens so, so fast. And so then the car didn't roll, thankfully, but it spun around. And then I'm facing back up the track and I'm looking at the cars coming towards me and I'm thinking, please don't hit me, please don't hit me. And then I keep spinning and then I'm looking back up the track the same way and I just keep going.
And so wow.
It's that whole, you're just reacting the whole time to what's happening because you can't predict what's going to happen, which I imagine be a little bit similar with some competing you've done as well. You're reacting to the circumstances, and I think rallying where you're just dealing yourself in the road is quite different to this, where you're dealing with other vehicles on the track, which add another unpredictable element to it.
A huge layer of unpredictability.
But
your
so
mental agility must be incredible. Do you have to specifically train that, or is it learned through track time and experience?
I think it's experience. I think a lot of it is experience, but every seat time that you can get, if you're racing and driving constantly, then it just helps, because you're already doing that on a lower level of your brain power, I guess, which gives you more capacity to think of other things whilst driving.
And how about the physical element? Because I know just from my intrigue with F1 that there's a huge physical process to being fit enough to survive a race and pay attention and be able to get out of the car at the other side.
Yes.
What's it like for you? Is the neck strength
We don't have the same level of G-forces that a Formula One driver would have, because we're not generating...
Lucky
me. So we're not generating the same level of grip, obviously,
right, okay,
because it's a slippery surface. But in saying that, you still need to be strong through your core, neck, head. It all helps just in terms of your overall ability to get through a weekend. We're also quite fortunate in that the racing with the electric is that they're quite short races, so we're not like we're out in the car for hours on end for endurance type fitness needed.
And is there an off season as such?
No, it's a bit unusual with Extreme E because of the vehicles and everything being shipped by boat. There's quite big gaps between the events. So basically we started in February, early March, I think it was, and we'll go through to December. But that's only 5 event weekends. So it's a small calendar spread out to allow for the transport time.
So talk me through the routine, a day in the life of an Extreme E driver.
So when we're at the race weekends, a lot of it is data analysis because we're not out on the track driving. Yep. We have a lot of data that comes out of the car with in-car videos and also data traces of our inputs from our braking and steering. And so
technical.
It's really technical.
Is
yeah,
it frustrating not being able to get on the track?
Yes, absolutely. Because, there's nothing like seat time. So having Tanner as my teammate, we can use each other's data and you do a lot of analysis trying to work out where you can go faster, where you can carry more speed. But it's only sort of helpful for your qualifying or your practice, because then once you're racing with other cars, there's only so much you can do anyway, in terms, especially if it's dusty or muddy, and that affects your visibility as well.
Wowza. Is there any sort of particular diet that you have to follow? Obviously with the travelling myself, I know that it can be tough changing time zones. Do you have any little hacks and tips that you apply?
I just find, doing that exercise just helps with the resetting into the new time zone. Mental space as well, I think exercise is really good for that. So
for sure, 100% with you on the exercise and the reset. When you come into the factory on a day like today, I can see from your schedule and calendar that you are extremely busy. You've already been in the sim. You're with me now. Do you manage to fit in any you time on an intense media day like this?
Today is pretty full of activities, so I'll do me time, I guess, at the beginning or the end of the day. It's nice here at the moment. It's summertime. You've got such long twilight and you can do things after hours. So I was pretty lucky.
Do you come into the factory often?
When I am over here, because normally I'm at home in New Zealand, I do try to come and do different activities with the team here. It's a pretty cool place to visit, I must say.
It is a very, very special setting. I definitely, when I woke up this morning, wasn't expecting to be outside in glorious fields and woodland. I was imagining a built-up factory.
Yeah.
I believe there's a race coming up. What's the next race?
So the next round of Extreme E is in Sardinia in about 3 or 4 weeks, I think it is. We finished on the podium at the last event. So
congratulations.
Thank you. So that will be our aim for this next event coming forward.
How important is that relationship between you and your teammate?
Very important, because we're kind of like one driver in the car, if that makes sense. So there's only so many changes the team can make to the car whilst we're driving it, if that makes sense. So it's not like we can do anything drastically different when we do a driver switch. So Tanner and I have to work together to ensure the car is set up that we both like how it's set up so that we can both drive it fast. So it's a challenge, but Tanner and I, we get along really well, and we've both probably learnt what each other likes in the car setup. Basically, like the car quite similar, which does help our engineers.
That's a real bonus, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. I can imagine there's a huge element of trust as well in that relationship.
Yes, there is. And I think, especially for the engineers, especially, like, so we work with Alina and Tina Gade, and they have a huge amount of experience. But the challenge for them is working out what our language is when we're describing what a car is doing, because Tanner and I might be describing the same element of the car, but the language you're using is quite different. So I have to sort of interpret and translate.
Do you feel fear, and do you get scared when it comes to racing on a new track?
No, I don't think there's fear. I think it's nerves. You definitely feel nerves at different times, but always feel safe inside the car. And I don't think, like we mentioned earlier, it's a calculated risk and we have all the safety gear we require. So, yeah, so I don't feel fear, but definitely nerves, yeah.
And you touched on earlier, you were sliding sideways.
There's a moment of fear. And it's a split second.
And there's a fear of a car rolling. Has that happened before?
Yeah, we were a bit unfortunate last year. Tanner had a bad roll early on in the season, and then I had a roll actually at Sardinia last year where just got contact from another car off the start line, which sent me into a big hole off the track, which made the car roll. So that wasn't a great way for our race weekend to finish. So
that must be petrifying.
It all happens so fast that there isn't a moment, like there isn't time for fear, which sounds an unusual thing to say, but it's just all happening so fast. You're just thinking, like, as it happens, you're like, you sort of just brace yourself and think, oh, we'll just get through this. So, yeah.
When it comes to you driving a normal car, would you say you're almost more hyper aware in that situation because of the other people around you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And also so aware of how scary it can be if you do have a crash, and you wouldn't want to be in just
in a normal car.
Normal car
that isn't like a Caterpillar
without a helmet and all the other stuff.
What are you like driving on the road? Do you have to rein yourself back?
Sometimes.
Interesting. Tell
I'm
me more.
Pretty, I'm pretty fortunate in that I get to have my speed fix. In race
adrenaline
condition.
Box. I have to say, New Zealand's pretty special when it comes to roads and tracks. So I've snowboarded in Wanaka, Queenstown. Do you know Snow Park?
Yes. Yep.
The old Snow Park.
Yep. They used to have a race up that hill.
Like a car race.
Yeah.
Have you ever driven that?
I have, yeah.
No way. That's crazy.
It is the best hill climb ever. It was amazing.
I have snowboarded at Snow Park, and unfortunately it's no more.
It's a shame.
Is it called Snow Farm?
Correct. Yeah, it is. Good memory.
Oh, wow. Okay. So next time I go to New Zealand, I need to ditch a snowboard and go for a drive at Snow Farm on the ice.
You do. They have amazing driving experiences up there in winter.
As a Kiwi, getting out of the country, I know through some of my snowboard friends, and creating a name for yourself on the world stage can be quite challenging. What was it that gave you that opportunity to step out of New Zealand?
I've had other smaller opportunities overseas, but nothing as big as what's since happened in the last few years with the phone call from Zach and being part of the McLaren family. It's totally changed, like, in terms of the profile, being part of such an international brand.
It's unreal.
It's like motoring royalty, especially in New Zealand, because Bruce McLaren was from New Zealand. So it's pretty special.
That's such a lovely little connection to bring it back to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what is next for you? Because I've seen on that main boulevard, there's a rather jazzy looking Mandarin coloured, very flash, this is my technical car language we're speaking now, car sat there, and I believe there is the Goodwood Festival of Speed coming up.
There is. Yes.
Tell me more.
Yeah, so it's the weekend after our Extreme E event in Sardinia. Very excited that they've trusted me with this very special car. It's called M8D, and Denny Holm, who's also a fellow Kiwi, New Zealander, He raced and won with it, but it's actually the sister car to a car that Bruce was killed in when testing at Goodwood Circuit. So very,
scary.
Very special. Yeah, but I mean, gosh, when you hear this car start. It just, yeah, it gives you goosebumps. It's so cool. So, so cool.
I think I might need to come and witness you start the car. I think that might need to happen.
It's amazing.
You've sold it to me. Is there an element of intrigue having the opportunity to step into this world, into this factory as an extreme e-driver that you think, ooh, I'd like a little go in the petrol cars as well?
I love driving, so it doesn't matter what I'm driving. I love driving. So I'd love the
That's
opportunity
cool.
to, probably not an F1 car, but maybe the GT3 McLarens and stuff would be amazing to do some racing in those.
In terms of Formula E, could that be a natural progression for you?
I don't know about natural progression. It's a lot smoother in tarmac, but it would be an amazing thing to try. And I'm really excited about being in the simulator today with the Formula E car, because with the Extreme E car, there's obviously synergies there. So yeah, I wouldn't say no, obviously, if I got a job opportunity.
This podcast is all about manifestations. Manifesting
Put it out to the universe.
To the world of McLaren. Did you hear that? Love of Formula E. We could do. I've been to watch Formula E, actually. It's incredible.
The London one?
Yeah, what they're doing alongside.
It's bizarre watching racing indoors, isn't it? Seeing the
and
cars.
Silently.
Yes.
Very, very interesting. So what's your relationship like with Monday? Seeing as this is the Monday Mile podcast, it would be rude not to ask you. How do you feel about a Monday?
I really like Mondays because it's kind of like that excitement of a new week and, you know, and the promises and the, I don't know, it's like starting a new year, isn't it? You think, yep, we're going to get everything on track again this week. Yep. So, yeah, I like Mondays.
And obviously you started it here with me today.
Exactly.
In the sunshine, in glorious Woking. And it sounds like your schedule is jam-packed. It's an interesting one, though, because not every guest we have on this podcast has a positive relationship with Monday, because the way the working week works, it really varies for a lot of people. Are your races often at the weekend?
Yeah, and I guess the flip side of that is that sometimes Monday can be a bit of a come down, can't it, if you've had an amazing weekend.
I had a really good weekend. But this is definitely not a come down being here. Emma, thank you so much for joining us here at your home in the UK, McLaren. It has been so insightful learning about your journey, the mindset, the motivation and the resilience behind what it takes to drive a car extremely fast off-piste. Thank you.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed my mile with you. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you.
Just a small break in your media day outside. Monday Mile listeners, it is a wrap. I really, really hope you enjoyed that delightful insight. I know I certainly did. It's incredible to get inside the mind of a female racing driver. Let there be much more of that. Monday Mile listeners, it's a wrap. Have an absolutely wicked week.